This is the I Read Comic Books podcast, the very best podcast for regular comic book fans. I am your host, Mike Rappin. Joining me this week are two comic book fans eagerly looking forward to their next crowdfunding campaign that they can support. I'm joined by this week by Kate Lamphere.
Happy Eclipse Week.
And our good pal from the Comics That We Love podcast, Zach McCrary.
What's up, everybody? I'm so glad to be back on I Read Comic Books. It's been a hot minute since I got to do a podcast. This is going to be fun.
I'm very excited to see what all we can and can't do today, especially with the lurking earthquakes here in the Northeast. I don't know about you guys, but it has literally shaken me to my core. I'm a big old baby. If I lived in California, I don't know what I would do. But I live here in the Northeast, and I was told that we'd never get earthquakes, but that was a lie. But we're here to talk about comic books today. We're actually here to talk about and celebrate the 15th anniversary of Kickstarter, the most beautiful place on the internet to support crowdfunding campaigns, specifically to support like crowdfunding comic book campaigns. And so today we're going to be talking a lot about crowdfunded comics. But before we get into that, and I guess let's just get right into it. That's what I should say. I got two legally mandated questions that I needed to ask, and that is, how have you been? How have comic books? Let's start with you, Zach.
Oh man, that's a loaded question.
I know.
I'm married now. I have a wife son. And we moved to a different state, and there is so much going on. Green card processes. My kid needs so many vaccinations that it's going to take till the fall till he's done.
Oh,
the poor guy.
God.
And it's intense, but I'm very happy, and I'm finally getting back into my groove, and I'm just excited to get back to doing some podcasts and reading some comics and introducing him to them as well, because he loves superheroes and stuff. So, yeah. It's good times.
Dude, that is so exciting. I'm so happy for you, man. I think I was saying this before we started recording. I've been slowly from the shadows just like following your social media posts and things you've been posting on like the podcast and stuff. But it's so awesome to hear that things are going great, man. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
But let's talk about comics. So tell us what you've been reading or something that's been that you've been, you know, looking at while you've been dealing with all this other stuff that's going on.
Oh my. Okay. So I've kind of been going back through some of my Kickstarter comics because some of these guys have become friends from being on my show and talking about their books. And one of those actually is written by the Four Color Comics guys, which if you remember a little while ago, I talked about their book Mechaton on this show. It was the one where the guy, anything he punches would turn into a mech. Do you remember that? Like the hot dog cart, like punch a hot dog cart, it turns into a mech. So They also did a book called Mechaton, but the book that I found them on, the book that they first came to my show and we talked about, was called Frankenstein the Unconquered. And currently there are two issues out, and issues 3 and 4 are being worked on, but their artist like hurt her hand and kind of fell behind. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
The gist of this book, it's by Dalton Shannon and Wells Thompson. They are the brain children of this whole thing. They do a bunch of comics. So if you look up Four Color, spell it with a U, and like they have a bunch of different stuff, but Frankenstein the Unconquered is like if you took Mary Shelley's Frankenstein and crossed it with a little Mad Max and a lot of Conan the Barbarian, that's what this book is. Like Frankenstein, like the monster, they just call him Frankenstein, is like Conan. He is an angry, vengeful king who has returned after being like exiled, basically. He was frozen in ice. And when he returns, the world is in this post-apocalypse, and he's angry at the people who put him where he was and like took his throne from him, and he wants it back. And it's cool because as you go along, they start incorporating other kind of universal monsters like the Invisible Man and the werewolf or the wolf man, like stuff like that. But they're done in really interesting, fun, like Conan-y kind of ways. And it's such a fun book, and the art just goes with it perfectly. It's like very kind of edgy and dark. I should have written her name down, but the girl that did the art for the first two issues, she's really Spawn influenced. Like she loves Todd McFarlane, and you can see it, and it's really, really cool. So I love this book. I'm super excited to get the third and fourth issues because they are creating such a fun world, and I like the writing because I was convinced when I first read it before I talked to them about it that they were writing it in the way that Mary Shelley might in some of the caption boxes. And they said, basically they told me that was just kind of happenstance, and they were way more focused on like the what's Conan's guy's name? Is it E. Robert Howard? I think
I'm gonna take your word for it. I have no idea off the top of my head.
They were more focused on like kind of pulling influence from like Howard's stuff, like Conan books and things like that. But I got Mary Shelley vibes, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
This is a fun book. I suggest checking it out. Mary Landrieu, thank you.
Gotcha. So how did you come across this book? Was it just because you had read Mechaton and talked to them about this, or?
Oh, no. This is the one that I first found from them. And it was specifically because they reached out to me and were like, hey, we're putting out this book. Could we come talk about it on your show? And when they sent me a copy, I was like, absolutely. Yeah, you got to come on the show. And and I found that they're kind of kindred spirits now. Like, and so it's pretty cool. All the stuff that they do is really fun. They have another one that's coming out in the future here. It's a lot more adult, and it's just called Smut. But it's the one guy Wells and his wife are writing it together. And I'm very curious to see how that one turns out.
Well, here's the thing. Sex sells quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
Who knows what that book is about called Smut? No idea.
No idea. It's very up in the air. Very up in the air. Kate, what have you been reading?
Yeah, so I've actually been backing a lot of Kickstarter books. Like, it might be a little bit of a problem. Mm-hmm. And it used to be that I was so picky about what I would back. And I'd think for days about, like, do I want this in print? Do I want it in digital? And now, thankfully, Kickstarter or the creators have added like this add-on feature. So now I can back the digital, know that I'm going to get it, get my money committed to them. So they know that their campaign is going to work or closer to working out. And then I can like add on the print edition if I want to, once it gets funded. So that was a really good change for Kickstarter to make. And except that changing my strategy in that way means that I'm just like, do I want this Kickstarter? I don't know. Yes. not even gonna think about it. But I have gotten some good books that way, and I finally have come up with an organization system where I actually download the books as soon as they're delivered instead of like 6 months later, realizing that I never did that and hoping I can find the download link.
I've done the same thing.
I've got that figured out.
Dude, listen, we could talk all about like managing your Kickstarter rewards. I would love to, maybe a little bit later in the episode, but because that's an entire process on top of just supporting someone, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
Yeah, I only have so much cloud storage. Where do I put these?
Okay, we're definitely talking about this.
Yes.
All right, so the book I want to talk about that I read recently from Kickstarter, it was Crater City, Volume 1. This is by Michael J. Ruiz Unger and Marco Jeska. Beautiful looking last name. I don't know how to pronounce it. I kickstarted this last year and I received it a few months ago. And this is actually a horizontal book. It's like, I don't know if they definitely made a print edition that's like sideways from your normal
like it's
portrait
landscape.
Edition.
It's
it's landscape.
Oh, okay.
So it's almost one of those, like I turned the iPad to read it. But that means the art's a little bit bigger. So that worked out. So this is about a teen girl who is sick of her small town. Familiar with that story myself. there's a yearly alien themed festival, and there's like this hunt for a missing meteor every year at this festival that she's like sick of hearing about. Her father also went missing during that hunt years ago, and her grandfather has kind of been off since then, like something about him, he's just kind of like obsessed with this whole festival and hunt thing. Partway into the book, she makes a discovery which reveals secrets about some of the town's residents, and she has to make a choice. Like, she has an opportunity to leave town like she's always wanted to, or she can stick around and like try to figure things out, fix things. You know, the call to adventure of a hero story. There's a through line of like a radio host in this book who will be like, you never see like music in comics, you know how you sometimes see music in comics that is not in this comic, but you hear the radio host like greeting people and like saying, oh, these events are happening. I'm going to play you this music, and then we go back to the story. And that like adds an atmosphere to this story that's like, I mean, we're familiar with like what radio sounds like. We've seen it in other media. We've heard that narration in TV shows and stuff, and it just kind of like adds this, I don't know, bigger world aspect to it, but also really narrows this town down. Like, this is like a local person commenting on this town, and there's just something a little bit ethereal that was added because of this, and that narrator becomes kind of more relevant to the plot as the story continues.
Right.
This was a really fast-paced read for me. It's not really particularly short. I think it was like 120 pages or something, but it just went really quickly, especially once the hero's journey starts picking up.
Sure.
And the art style complemented the story very nicely, kind of in the same way that the radio narrator does. Like, it's kind of got the art's got a lot of browns in it. This takes place in a desert, so that really worked well. And I kind of dug into these creators a little bit more because I was like, how have I not heard of these people or not funded something else by them? And the answer is, I don't know, because they have crowdfunded other projects before. Mm-hmm, so I'm going to have to follow them on social media and make sure I don't miss anything else that they do.
Yeah, the other part of keeping track of Kickstarters, right, is like just finding the ones that you know you're going to want, yeah, which is a whole other conversation. Again, I've got like notes now in my head that we need to address at the end of this, but this looks really cool. I'm just skimming through the Kickstarter thing, and for those of you listening right now, I'm going to post a link to all the Kickstarters that we're talking about today's episode, all the crowdfunding stuff, in the show notes. So if you're curious to look at any of these, make sure to check out there. Or if you're hanging out with us on Discord, we're posting those as we're talking about them. What are you doing not listening to our episodes live? But this book looks really cool. It looks really cute. I love a good like 120, 140 page like OGN or comic book that comes out of Kickstarter, because I feel like as much as I love single issue comics, I do appreciate a good like meaty chunky book that I can get and say like I'll throw $15, $20 at the digital edition and be very, very satisfied with the end result. Although 100%. That is a big risk, which is the whole thing. It's just like buying, yeah, you know, mass market. But like, I don't know, there's something about like taking a risk on a crowdfunding book that just like makes me excited to be like, even if this is just in the middle, I'm like happy that I was able to make someone's like dream come true. You know, like there's that satisfaction that comes from it. So I'll check this one out too.
Yeah, I really like the aspect of this, of helping a creator realize their work. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Aaron in the chat says, then when you forget all about it and it shows up like 6 months later, it's a fun surprise.
Yeah.
Which leads me exactly into the book that I want to talk about. I mentioned this on last week's show. I finally sat down and I did read Mountain by Emily Reisbeck. This is a book that I backed in Kickstarter in 2022, and it showed up last week, like on Sunday before we started recording, which is so fun because like I knew that the book was going to come out. I think I had the digital edition. I downloaded it and just threw it into my big like trash dumpster full of Kickstarter books, and I say that because I don't know what else you put all these books other than in like a giant bin, you know, every once in a while I'll comb through them and like take a look at stuff, because I always forget. But I did get the physical copy of this book, and I was so excited to read it because it's super duper cute. It's the story of a mouse on a pilgrimage to the top of a mountain. What that mountain is not very clear from the get-go, but after you start to like dig into this book, and maybe if you take a little bit of a closer look at the cover, you realize this is like an old destroyed city of like a world where there used to be like technology and big skyscrapers and stuff. And it's a small like 40 page comic basically about letting go and acceptance. I freaking love this book from start to finish. I sat down and read it. I didn't really know like what this was going to be. I knew that there was going to be kind of like some dorky kind of funny little vibes to the book, but I didn't realize that I was going to be so enamored with both of the characters of this book. Pilgrim, who is the little mouse who's trying to get to the top of the mountain, and Climber, who is this like insectoid person who is helping Pilgrim get to the top of the mountain. And as the story goes on, you know, we learn a little bit about these characters. We mostly learn about Pilgrim, who talks and talks and talks and talks and then talks and talks and talks because they're nervous. They're nervous about this pilgrimage that they have to make. And Climber doesn't seem to speak. And we're not really sure if that's normal. These climbers are apparently people that help escort pilgrims to the top of the mountain. Like this is a ritual that happens in this world. And I don't want to spoil it because I genuinely think this is like really, really worth the read. And it's only 40 pages. It's super cute. But like the fact that I was so in love with these characters right away, with like the way that Reisbeck draws all of the characters' kind of just interactions, the stoicness of Climber, and like kind of just the goofy, like uncertain, anxious personality that is Pilgrim, you fall in love with them really quickly. And then when you get to the end, it's so beautiful and heartbreaking and in like enlightening all at once. Like, it's such a wonderful little story. There's a lot of sci-fi, little fantasy things kind of like hidden amongst the story panels, but nothing that's explicitly referenced, which I really, really like. Like, Risebeck just wants you to live in the world as these two characters are climbing this, I'm going to put this in heavy quotes, mountain. So yeah, I don't know. I really love the way that this book looks, the way that it feels, like the pacing of it. Like, it's a perfect 40-page one-shot story that I can't recommend enough. I really love the way that both of the characters are drawn. Again, like Pilgrim just being overly excited and moving around and not being prepared, and Climber just kind of being this like brick of a person who really doesn't seem to move. And then you find out that all of this is like part of a bigger part of the story. Totally love this. Again, highly recommended. If I can't express how much it was worth the wait for this book, because I backed it in 2022 and then it just randomly showed up on my door last week, even though I think like 3 months ago they were like, books are coming out the door, and then it suddenly showed up. So you know what? I'm fine with that. I love that. That's part of the reason why I love backing Kickstarters, because it's like, I don't know, a little present for me in the future. Why not? I'll click support.
I'm looking at the art and I really like it. I think I'm going to have to pick this up, because it's like, it's almost like, what if Mobius could do cute things? Like, because I'm looking at this picture of like this building, and it's very detailed, and I like the colors. The colors are kind of otherworldly, just the way that it's done, and like the amount of detail and like the thin line work and stuff. But then you look at the pictures of the characters, and they're like, that little guy is very cute, you know. And so it does. It gives me like hard Mobius vibes, and I love some Mobius. So. You've intrigued me with the story. I think I'm going to have to pick this up.
Yeah, and again, for 40 pages, like, you can read much worse comics, I swear. But anyways, yeah, so Mountain by Emily Risebeck, totally recommended, highly. I totally fell in love with this book. Like, I can't wait to sit down and read it again. Plus, the physical copy that I bought came with a nice little sticker sheet. Like, if you're watching the full video on Patreon, you can see all the little stickers of the characters. They're very, very cute and very fun. But let's move on. Let's talk about books that are on the top of our pile, comics that are new or old, or just for this episode, probably books that we've just been meaning to read and just haven't had a chance to. So let me, before I get into this, let me shout out some of the folks hanging out with us on Discord this week. If you're on our Discord, you can always, right before we start recording, you can send us over what books you're going to be reading on Sundays, and we will make sure to get a shout out on the show. This week, CK is going to be reading Hunger in the Dusk, number 2 through 5, getting caught up on that fantastic series. Kyle is going to be reading A Guest in the House by Emily Carroll for our reading challenge, the Goodreads reading challenge, which you should be a part of. And Danny's going to be reading Rat City, number 1, and Hugh is going to be reading Aliens, What If, number 2. But let me kick things over to Kate. What is on the top of your pile?
So I have been following this creator called Curtis Clow for a long time. We had him on the show a while back.
Yeah.
And so at the top of my pile is to reread the issues of Beastlands that I have already read. And then issues 8 and 9 are going to be, they already got funded and they're going to be coming out sometime in the future. So I'm going to reread Beastlands issues 1 through 7 and prep for that. So Curtis Clow is the writer. Art is by Joe Meek Young and letters are by Tobin Rackencott. So this is Beastlands, a medieval fantasy story about a boy and his friends searching for the boy's missing dad. And part of this like group of people are these giant, beautiful, like wolf-like animals called keepers, but the keepers are being hunted by like this big group of other people. And so this is a really emotional journey. Like, like, consider these animals to be like kind of pets, but they're also characters in their own right. And then they're also, they're like steeds. The human characters ride them. So like these creatures are extremely important to the story and are the maybe the most beautiful part about it, but all of the art is absolutely gorgeous. So, so the story has really nice like highs and lows emotionally, and like you really feel for the characters. And like every issue, I'm like, okay, next issue, here we go. I'm gonna start this immediately. So I mentioned that Curtis, the writer, has been on the show before. He's a really prolific Kickstarter creator. I pretty much just back anything that he does at this point. And he's finished a 4-issue series called Slightly Exaggerated. He's done a series called The Wild Cosmos, and then there's a new book called Majestic. And his series have been picked up and reprinted by publishers like Dark Horse and Scout. So he does like crowdfund everything first, and then maybe a publisher will come along and pick them up, is how I understand what's happening. This is like This Beastland series in particular is a book where it's still ongoing. Like, these issues are being backed kind of one at a time or two at a time on Kickstarter. But I'm at the point now where, like, I've been backing all these things digitally on Kickstarter, and I'll get something, just read it digitally, and I'm like, wow, I really wish that I had backed this book. Well, Curtis is very wise in the way that if you go to his website, curtiscloud.com, there's a shop, and you can buy copies of whatever you want in whatever form they are available in. So, like, actually, Beastlands has, like, a hardcover, and it's got, like, this beautiful collector's edition with gold foil on it. It looks like there's metal covers. And then a lot of these things have variant covers. I might be spending a lot of money soon.
Yeah.
But it does seem like he will combine his finished series or finished arcs in volumes when he's done. So So I only have slightly exaggerated in issues right now, but I kind of wonder if that's going to end up being a volume as well down the road.
Yeah, it's so funny because, you know, I think when we had Curtis on, there was I think I had a million and one questions for him.
Yeah.
About, like, how he approaches his Kickstarter. And, like, the thing that I've always appreciated about all of his Kickstarter projects is, like, he's been very, I feel like he's in the mind of a Kickstarter follower, like he's like or a supporter, where, like, he wants to offer whatever combination of supporter options that are available within certain means, right? So, like, offering variant covers and sketches and draw me into the book and stuff like that. Like, I think a lot of people enjoy that, but I also appreciate, like, I think the link that I put in our show notes here is a link to the volume one hardcover. So, like, he put out Beastlands 1-7. Or maybe 1-6, I can't remember, and then collected it as a separate edition and then created a separate Kickstarter for that for people like me, who's like, I love the digital issues, but I'd rather just have a collected volume, even though I've been supporting you all the way. Like, I'm happy to buy your books multiple times if it means that I can get them in a format that I want, which is so crazy because I feel like you would think that that model would work for someone like TKO. TKO was doing that for a really long time as a publisher. Maybe I think they might still be, where you can buy their books when they all come out as single issues in a collection, or as a soft cover or as a hardcover. And it's like, that's super duper cool for me. But I think that the difference between Kickstarter supporter comic readers and people that go to the comic shop are, like, almost like not two circles. And you'd think that they would be, like, I'm in those two circles. But at the same time, I think there's a chunk of people who are like, I only support web comics, indie creator comics. And then there's another side that go to their comic shop. And I think part of that also comes down to, like, the number of comics. When you pay on Kickstarter, you're kind of like paying for that single issue comic rather than, like, going through the mess and rigmarole of going through Diamond's pre-order system and blah, blah, blah. That's a whole other topic in itself. But I do find it interesting that Curtis has consistently done this with all of his books, or most of his books, where he'll be like, I'm going to put out all these single issues as different Kickstarters. And then later, once all those issues are out, I'll put out another Kickstarter that's a collection of that. And I don't know, I really appreciate that. Maybe that's not viable for all creators out there, because there's probably some money funny business that has to happen to make sure that you've got, like, the right number of supporters and stuff, because God forbid your Kickstarter didn't succeed. But I don't know, I got a lot to say this about this apparently, but I don't know, Curtis has always done a great job, which is why I'm always, like, following his stuff. And I'm so mad that, like, I forgot to hit the save button on his latest campaign and I missed it, so I'm gonna have to get a catch up on the next one when he does it, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's a kind of why I'm just backing things digitally, like, as soon as I see them, because otherwise like I will open these things in a browser and then I won't notice, like, I just won't notice the browser for, like, weeks. Browser window, I've got like 50 browser windows open on my phone. I've kind of had to just commit to them and then
totally
to not forget them.
Well, let me talk about a book that I'm looking forward to, and I'm gonna go off on a weird path, and I'm sure that everybody out there is going to shame me for this, but I'm gonna be reading Sithra volumes 1-6. This is a Kickstarter that I backed in 2013, I think 2014, wow, somewhere around there. This is by Jason Brubaker. Jason put out 6 volumes of this series. The first one is 96 pages, and then all of the rest of them are like 100, 200 pages each, right?
Wow.
And I backed them all. And then I never read any of them. Well, I should say I read the first one, and I really liked it. So that's why I backed the second one. And then I just kept backing them and not reading them. And the craziest part about this is that I own them all in hardcover. But let me tell you about this book. Nirvana Page wanted to see the world. traveling by pirate seaplane with her father on an annual vacation. Together, they explore exotic places and discover remarkable wildlife. And even if it's only for a few days, she gets everything a seven-year-old girl could hope for. That is until a mysterious force crashes their plane, separating Nirvana from her dad and stranding her in a strange and unfamiliar land. It's there she encounters Cythra, a mysterious being who could hold the key to finding her father, and begins a grand and perilous adventure that will bring her to the end of the world and beyond. This book's pitch is really cool.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the first volume is amazing, but I have not read volumes 2 through 6, and I have them all in very beautiful bound hardcover sitting on my shelf right now. And I'm like, you know what? I really should use this Kickstarter 15th anniversary to actually read these books. And I think what's funny about this series is that Jason jumped between Kickstarter and Indiegogo, and before it got kind of weird over on Indiegogo, but like jumped kind of all over the place to get this book funded. And I'm really glad that I was able to get, I think, the full collection. And then if I'm not mistaken, Dark Horse maybe, or maybe it was Boom, picked this book up and then did a republishing of it. But yeah, I've been sitting on this since 2014, and then I just kept backing the volumes as they came out because I'm a madman. But yeah, I have all of them, so I need to sit down and read them. I'm hoping that it's good from beginning to end because I own them all. So yeah, like I said, really like the first volume. It ends on such a wonderful cliffhanger that I couldn't believe that that's how you ended your first quote volume. It was like a saga level hook. Ooh. That this book ended on. So like, I was like, how do I not keep backing this series? So very excited to dive into this. Jason's art is fantastic. I know that he's done other work, but this being like a 10-year-old Kickstarter plus all the other stuff, I think a lot of the like internet links for this are dead, with the exception of like Kickstarter pages, because at one point there was a website and a shop and all that other stuff. I don't know if he fell off the face of the earth. I honestly just have not kept up with it, but this was 4 years ago was the last update I got from him on this series. So
it looks like the website is coffeetablebooks.com. I haven't found a shop yet on this website, but the website is live. Oh, here we go.
Okay, yeah.
Cool.
It's still available.
There used to be Cythra like .com or something, and that is defunct. So, okay, good to know that things just didn't disappear off the internet. That is one thing I worry about in general about things that are like, they just going to disappear and only the Internet Archive with the Wayback Machine keeps a record of it? But that's a topic for another day. But anyways, looking forward to reading this
book. What makes me fully believe that first volume must be really good is the fact that for a decade, you have been collecting hardcover versions of this series without having idea if any of the rest of it is good.
10 years ago, Mike, I really would like to ask him some questions right now.
Yeah.
Zach, what is on the top of your pile?
I am going to reread the first couple issues of a book called Path of the Pale Rider, and that's by Lori Calcaterra and Marco DeFeo. Lori Calcaterra is the mastermind, the mad woman behind this book. She is so much fun. So her Kickstarter campaigns and her comics, not only do you get a book, but she always creates like an actual video to take place in the world, and has like, she acts in them and has people take part, and she does all the editing, and then she has Easter eggs in the videos and makes puzzles that you have to figure out to get extra content, like for web pages and stuff like that. It's really neat. And that's,
is she J.J. Abrams? What the hell? This is like Cloverfield.
She's awesome. Hardcore. It's so much fun. So the book is called Path of the Pale Rider, and it's got like a post-apocalyptic Western vibe along with a little bit of zombie influence thrown in. But it's an interesting take because it's not just like mindless, like eat your flesh zombies. It's like the idea is like, what if when you died, your soul was still trapped in your body? And like you were still there just watching you decay, and like you know you're still active and like, so there's this world where this is happening, and of course I don't think you would call it racism, but like there's hatred for the people that are dead and still moving. And so they have created these like things that you put on your chest that actually shows if you have a heartbeat or not, so people know. And that kind of stuff. And it's really fun. The book follows this cowboy character named Jude as he's like on a hero's quest to try and figure out why this is happening and is there a way to stop it, kind of thing. And it's really fun. It's well put together. There's a giant zombie bear that is a just a blast to see Jude have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed it. And again, I think we should totally get into this, but like, I love Kickstarters that get creative with the extra rewards. Not like, you know, variant covers are cool, I appreciate them, and you know, sure, stuff like that. But when you can like feed me something crazy like that, like little videos, or like I've seen ones where there's like a podcast that coincides in the world, you know, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Those kind of rewards I love. And Laurie is great at it.
I think this is the perfect time to jump into it. I mean, before we wrap up the show, I'd love to talk about like this idea of like, you know, Kickstarter's kind of changing the way that we think about supporting comic books, right? I mean, I think the tried and true thing, I mean, it's been like this since I really got into comics, is like, support comics, go to your comic book shop, tell them you want to pre-order a book, mm-hmm, right? You listen to any other comic book podcast out there, when they're not talking about crowdfunding campaigns, they're talking about, hey, you're interviewing a creator, go to your comic shop, say you want whatever, blah, 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 number one, at, you know, before the FOC, before the final order cutoff date.
Yep.
And it's always like a thing. It's a thing that I feel like it's like this weird stopgap for some people where they're like, I don't really want to have to learn how to pre-order a book. I kind of just want to be able to go to a shop and buy them. And that's an understandable thing. But with Kickstarter, I feel like while Kickstarter is not a store, they say that in like big black text when you go to checkout, they're like, Kickstarter is not a store. There's no guarantee you get anything. And I totally get that. For the number of Kickstarters that I have been supported and gotten the books, I've been burned by one, you know, like for every 10, mm-hmm, there's one that burns me, and that's fine. But like, when we've got creators like Laurie here, or Kaylin Smith, for instance, or like Curtis Clow, it's wild to see, like, they're like, on top of stuff, like, yeah, they put out the comic or the Kickstarter, and then the comic comes within like a really perfectly set amount of time with rare interrupt, you know. And when there is interrupt, there's always explanations and understandable reasons for these types of delays. But like, it has changed the way that I look at comics, where I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take a chance on something, and I'd rather take a chance on a Kickstarter because I know it's gonna come with these interesting things, yeah, that I wouldn't normally be able to get from a comic book shop, you know, or from like pre-ordering a book through Diamond or whatever I need to do, right?
Totally.
I don't know. What do you think about this, Zach? I know you had some thoughts.
Oh, there. Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I think that is one of the fun aspects of this are that generally the people doing these Kickstarters are even more accessible than other like comic book creators, you know what I mean? Like, right, because these are, a lot of times it's just normal people who are trying to get their start into the industry, mm-hmm, and they, mm-hmm, want to build a following. And the best way to build a following is to create a community around yourself. And basically you are a brand, and the more people that, yeah, like you and trust what you are doing and the things that you're going to give them, the more they're going to keep coming back. And so that's, you know, the people that do that well are the people that I am drawn to. And like people like, yeah, Laurie, and people like the Four Color guys, and my friend Damian Becton, who also does amazing Kickstarter books. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Damian. And he did Worlds Away. Go check it out, folks. It's a really fun 4-issue comic. Anyway, but another shout out is to this guy named Chris Saloff. And he does a book called Crit. It's like CRIT. I've talked about it on the show before. He literally, yeah, is a dungeon master who records every session and then writes a comic book about it, about what happens. But he's so creative. Like, you can get plushies of one of his characters. He created an energy drink that you could get with like specific layers or tiers of the backing and stuff like that. I love that kind of stuff. It's so much fun because you get a cool new comic, you get to be on the ground level of a new creator, and if the creator is like really going like really into the Kickstarter thing, you get a lot of neat extra stuff on top of that, you know? It's fun. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Kickstarting is fun, and it is like the most ground level of supporting independent creators, and I think that's, yeah, super important.
Yeah, definitely. I put a list in our show notes here. This will be on Patreon if you're really, really curious, of just like a lot of the Kickstarters that I've backed over the years that I've really loved. And it's because of exactly what, you know, Zach said, like a lot of these people, they found success because they created this community, and they've made things. I mean, they made things that like make you more, I guess, interested in the series beyond just like a,
exactly,
comic book, right?
Yeah.
And I think that goes like, there could be benefits and drawbacks to that, right? Because I think like, I've talked about this on our Discord quite a bit, of like, sometimes when I back a physical edition of something, all I want is the book. I don't need stickers. Fair. I don't need bookmarks. I don't need a fucking challenge coin, right? Like, I understand you're trying to, like, take the money that I'm giving you and turn it into something that is valuable, but I'm here for the book, right? A lot of the times. And I think Kate brought up a good point earlier of this idea of add-ons, which is the way to do this, in my opinion. If you have extra shit that you want people to have, it is part of your Kickstarter, like, let me add it on. Let me opt in. I would rather opt in than have to be, like, I don't know what to do with things. Like, and I like this sticker sheet that I got for Mountain, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's cute. But 9 times out of 10, like, if I'm backing a single issue, I don't need a bookmark and, you know, like, stickers and all this stuff. I don't even really know your characters yet. I've just started getting in. So I'd rather have to, like, opt in for that kind of stuff. I don't know. There's like a lot of I think thoughts around this and conversations that I've seen on different Kickstarters in general, like in the comments section. Some of the most insane conversations I've seen have been in Kickstarter comments. They're all, like, supportive, but they're also like, why are you doing this to me, you know, at the same time. So but I don't know, I think about a series called Skies of Fire. Mm-hmm. This is a series that I've backed for a really, really long time. It's an 8-issue series written by Vincenzo Ferrero and Ray Chow, art by Pablo Pepino, Brian Valenza, Christian Dokolomensky, Andreo Berker, and Joseph Vandal. It's big, long series, 8 issues long. It's like steampunk, like the most steampunky thing that you could ever read. But it's got a really cool concept. They've clearly created like a really beautiful world out of it. And I was addicted to the single issues. So when they did the Kickstarter later for like a deluxe hardcover with a slipcase, blah, blah, I was like, oh, hell yeah, dude. Like, I got hooked on these single issues because I bought all of them digitally, and I was like, when I got the chance to get the physical edition, I was like, you've got me. I'm already hook, line, mm-hmm. and sinkered on this. And then I can tell all my friends to go get this because I think they should get it too. And they offered a myriad of options, like just the digital edition, just the digital single issues. I mean, that they did a fantastic job with that and made all the additional stuff that you would want optional, right? I think when I think at one point I did get like a single issue of one of the issues or something like that. No, I bought this. I got that at a convention. Doesn't matter. But yeah, they made like all the postcards and extra stuff add-ons if you wanted them. And I was like, cool, because I don't need postcards of steampunk ships because I don't know what I'm going to do with them. But like, I'm glad that those were options for people that maybe want that kind of stuff, you know? And I think that's like the way to do it. And I've got a bunch of other stuff, but I'm curious to know what you guys think about like these additional add-ons that either get automatically thrown in as stretch goals, or if you prefer like the add-on method.
I definitely have some things laying around that came in Kickstarters that, like, outside of the context of the Kickstarter, don't really make any sense. Like, you mentioned, like, the characters. Like, for example, I backed House of Lothar, nice hardcover edition from Kaelin Smith, and same. That came with a couple of stickers. I know who these characters are, yeah. And I love them, and I have these stickers displayed. But if it were a different book, like one, like Crater City that I read, that's a great book. I really enjoyed it. I might read it again, but I'm not like, I didn't follow their Instagram to see their characters every week. And I don't have their newsletter like that I'm being reminded constantly of these characters. So those stickers just kind of like would sit around. I wouldn't know what to do with them. So that's a really good point. There are some things that I'm going to use if I get them in the mail. Like, I have piles of bookmarks all over my house, and they all get used because of how many books I read at one time.
Okay. So, see, my problem with bookmarks is that I get them and I go, cool, bookmark. And then it gets filed away somewhere every single time. It's a different time. So I have bookmarks all over the house, but I can never find them when I need them because they're not like, I don't know, maybe I just need to reorganize my life and like collect all these bookmarks and just put them like right next to the table where I do a lot of reading, because like I feel like whenever I need a bookmark, I don't know where to find one. But then like I go through like my library of books here that I've got on this huge shelf, and I'm like, oh, why is there a bookmark between these two books? It's probably because I was like, I don't know what to do with this, and I just stuck it between two books or something, you know?
I have had Kickstarters where you can back an additional step, and it will come with like a print or a postcard or something, and then they let you pick out of like three or something like that, and then so you can get one with the characters, so you might forget who these characters are in 6 months, or you could get like a nice piece of art that's like a setting or like a cool spaceship or something,
right?
And that's going to go on my art wall. Like, I'm not going to forget, like, mm-hmm. if I forget where this ship is from, that's still a cool piece of art, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
For sure. By the way, you've got plenty of bookmarks, Mike. You've got magic cards. Like, that's what I use as bookmarks.
That's true. You know, when I eventually get sick of this stupid game that Nick bought me physical copies of, I can just use them all as bookmarks.
They work great. They work great.
I'll take them out of the sleeves, too, even the holographic ones, just to make people cringe, right?
But to go along with what you guys are saying, I think that what you're saying makes sense to me. I love all, like, the extra stuff. I think that it's cool to have those options and to get really creative with them for people. But I do think that sometimes I see people getting too creative too early. Like if you are sure. A brand new untested person on Kickstarter, a new creator, you've got a brand new story that no one knows yet. You probably shouldn't like make action figures or something like that because no one's going to back those levels because they don't want to pay for a character that I think Kate said earlier, like, you don't know the character yet. So I don't know if I want an action figure of that dude. Do I think they're cool or not? You know, I don't know yet.
Yeah.
But I think that like that kind of stuff, once you've set yourself in and people are following the story and you can see that, then I think that's cool. Add those levels and absolutely add them as add-ons, because you're right, the add-on section is super neat, because maybe you don't want all the crap from that level that costs $100, but there's one or two things that you'd be willing to pop for, and I think that's great for the creators to get a little extra money towards their projects when they try to get them funded.
I also really like that, like, the feature at the top, the very first option where it's like, just send me a dollar or two. You're not going to get anything for it. But I figured out that you can actually like add more money in there. Like you can back that digital edition and then give them an extra $5 because you believe in the project. Mm-hmm. So I've been using that pretty prolifically. I'll use that if there's a book that looks like it might not get funded and there's only like 5 days left or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I've done that a couple times too. That's like an interesting thing too, because I think that there's maybe a concern maybe for some creators. Maybe they want to create like stickers and plushies and action figures and whatever for characters. But I also think that there's like this weird stigma in some places. And I appreciate some Kickstarter creators don't have this, but where they're like, well, you can't just give me money to have the money. Right. Like, I don't need the we just want to make this thing. Yeah. Right. We want to break even. And I'm like, I don't agree with that because you put in your work. So you should get paid for your work. Right. It shouldn't just go towards printing costs and whatever, which is why, like, I appreciate some creators. Like, I think there was a Kickstarter I looked at recently that had like a breakdown of like where all the funding was going to go. And I always appreciate that. I even if it's like 99% of it is going to us and 1% is going to printing costs, at least you're being transparent about that. Yeah. Right. And I appreciate that breakdown to at least understand like, oh, you're getting paid for this work on top of printing this comic for me. Good. Cause I want you to be able to continue to do this. Like, my goal is not just to get the book personally. Right. I know that there's a whole thing, but my goal isn't not just to get the book, but also to see that this project succeeds to the point where you have the bandwidth and the financial stability to create the next one. Maybe this one issue of one comic isn't going to give you that, but maybe it's enough to say like, okay, this will help me like not have to worry about some costs in the future, which will give me less stress in my life to be creative and allow me to use my free time to create the next issue of this thing, the next volume. And so I've always found stretch goals to be an interesting thing in Kickstarters, because some folks, like the folks over Iron Circus, when they do Kickstarters or crowdfunding campaigns, they don't use Kickstarter anymore, but when they do their own crowdfunding campaigns, when they reach certain thresholds of their stretch goals, they go, okay, this isn't for anything beneficial to use the backer. It's just going to give these creators more money. Like, their page rate goes up by $5.
Oh, that's,
you know,
cool.
Like, and that's awesome. And I really, really love that, because, again, I want to be able to like not only throw money to get a thing, but if a comic book costs $15 and, you know, we've got, and after a mass quantity of supporters, you're ended up, oh, now this only costs $10. I want that money to go to the people. I want it to go. I don't need it to go towards another physical thing because I'm only here for the book. So I don't know, to get off my soapbox here. I just like, I really want to make, like, I go to Kickstarter and crowdfunding places to not only support to get a book, but also to like support these creators so that they can do the next one. And that's why I'm like, okay with paying $8 for a single issue, right? There was a Kickstarter recently, I think we saw, that was like $15 or $20 for a single issue of like 32 pages. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'm going to step back from that one. But like $8, $10, I will pay that because I know that that's going towards limited quantity printing, right? I think I ranted about this pretty recently as well, but like, I totally understand the like shortcomings of how small print stuff costs more. So I'm more like amiable to like taking that hit myself if it means that it can support this thing. So I don't know, to get off that soapbox, I just like, that's a whole thing that I firmly believe in, which is why I've backed far too many Kickstarters over the past 12 years. Just because like, I haven't read all of them, like the Sithrod book. I just believed in it. It sounds really cool. It's really awesome. I bought 6 fucking hardcovers because like, I believe in this dude and I want him to see his story to the end. And he did, you know, and that makes me feel really good as a supporter, even if I haven't read that book, because maybe that person will go on and create another thing that I will read and I will also enjoy. So
definitely. I did an entire episode on my show that was literally just me soapboxing about why independent comic books are so important to the industry. And
yeah,
and it really is like, when you back these people, you and you're buying these books, you might be backing like the next Tom King or the next, you don't know. And then you get to be at that ground level and you have like a personal interest and you get to watch them elevate. And like, I know people that are into music, like that's a big thing, you know, you were with that band when they were doing garages, or you're a pro wrestling fan like I am. I remember buying Claudio Castagnoli a coffee one time because I knew he was a big coffee fan, so I brought one to the show for him. And now the dude is he's main evented AEW cards and been at WrestleManias and stuff, and it's cool to be part of that.
That's
cool.
Yeah.
I remember I was at a tiny convention in Reading, Pennsylvania, and there was this guy selling a superhero novel, and I talked to him for a couple minutes, and I was like, I'm going to come back and buy this a little bit later, but I want to walk around. And I took a magnet and I left, and I forgot to go back, but I kept the magnet. And I realized just like a couple weeks ago when I was packing to move that person was Tom King, because the magnet was his book. It was just this tiny convention in an empty building in Reading, Pennsylvania. And it was Tom King before Tom King was Tom King. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you never know who you're going to like meet and be part of their journey. It's cool. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting hyped just thinking about it. Like, it's cool.
Yeah,
I love being part of that.
Let's go to some small conventions and find the next big star.
Exactly. Let's go find the next one.
Well, I guess to wrap things up, I do want to say, like, support Kickstarter books, support crowdfunding books. Like, I know that there was this whole blockchain business that happened with Kickstarter. I understand if you have like, if you're anti-Kickstarter, that's fine. But the important thing is like, go find a book that's on crowdfunding. If it looks cool to you, it's probably worth the money. If only to just do exactly what Zach said. Like, you never know if this person's going to make it huge. You never know if you're going to love something. Like, comic book FOCs from Image and Boom and all the other smaller publishers that aren't Marvel and DC, you never know. Even though the book is pitched in the greatest way, even when you go to the comic book shop, you never know if it's going to be great. And I feel like the exact same thing is true with Kickstarter books. And plus, you can get a much more personal touch. You can get signed copies. You can get all this other stuff. Like, whatever suits your fancy for the type of collector you are. Like, I can't express enough how important I think it is, the same way that Zach said, to support these types of books, because like, you're helping people make comic books like a reality for themselves. And if, I don't know, I feel like it's super important to like support small businesses, support small creators, and Kickstarter, Zoop, Indiegogo with its caveats or Comicscape bullshit, has helped people do that over the years. Even BackerKit has gotten into this now. Like, there's so many platforms for you to do it, and so many ways that you can support small creators. So like, we got to celebrate Kickstarter's 15th anniversary because they've been making comic book things possible for 15 years. You know, I think my first comic book supporter was like back in 2011 or 2012. And like, I've been doing it since then because like, firmly believe that this is like the future of how comic books should be done in some ways. And it's always great to help people get off of the ground.
Yes. And if you support someone and you like the books they're doing, you are also literally helping them build a portfolio that they can take to act like full publishers to get new books printed and created that you can then get in comic shops. So support, support, support.
Yes. Any last thoughts from UK before we wrap up?
I have been following like a lot of the creators that I enjoy from Kickstarter on their social media, or like you can follow their newsletters and things like that. So that's another really good way to find out if they're creating new projects or if they are backing projects that you might be interested in. I find a lot of my new Kickstarters to back that way through other creators.
Same.
So follow the creators that you like wherever you can.
Yeah, or jump in the IRCB Discord. We post Kickstarters and stuff all the time. I found so many good books just from the recommendations of folks on our Discord. So I think that'll wrap the episode up. I've got a bunch of other stuff. We've done so many Kickstarter episodes, like to support folks in their Kickstarters. Like we had Brandon Ingram on in the past. We had Kevo on. We had, Logan Rogers and Jason Holtzman for Tales from the Cloaker. We had CK Carpenter and Aubrey Jensen back on the show way while ago to support Tales from the Cloakroom. There's a whole backlog. I'm going to put those in the show notes as well, like from the last 100 and so issues or episodes of our show. So if you're interested in listening to those, make sure to check them out. But I want to say thank you to Zach and Kate for being on this episode. I want to say thank you to Paul for proof listening. Thank you to everyone listening live on Discord. Next week's show is going to be a pre-recorded episode. It's going to be me and Nick talking about Ice Cream Man Volume 9. I suggest you start listening or start reading all of those volumes now so that when you get to Volume 9, you can read it and then immediately listen to our episode. I promise you, Nick and I are not going to stop doing this series. I don't care what anyone says. How many hate me emails I've gotten to say, Mike, I don't care. Stop doing the show. We're going to keep doing it. I want to say thanks to Xander for editing the show. And until next time, comics are good, and so are you.